Don't You Rock My Boat by Impertinence, read by Mari Minx. Summary. Kaner wakes up soul bonded to Taser. Then gay shit happens. Kaner's life was pretty normal most of the time. He woke up, played hockey, got laid, okay, sometimes, got drunk, and slept. Totally normal. Then there was a day he woke up with some freaky connection to Taser. It happened like this. He got up and ate a cookie, and played Xbox upside down, and called his mom to bug her about seeing his sisters again, and scratched his ass, and ate another cookie, and then stopped, because all of a sudden, he felt like a bad person. Consciences were for people who didn't have days till a game. Kaner grabbed two cookies, just for good measure, and shoved one into his mouth. He seriously felt like his mother, all disapproving and shit, and he was suddenly really aware of the multigrain bread next to the cookies, and the bottled water he should put in the fridge and drink instead of soda. "Yeah, okay," he said out loud, and ate the other cookie, ignoring the feeling. He had shit to do, like Xbox. No time for feeling bad about something no one else even had to know about. The feeling faded after a few hours, but then he went down to his building's gym, which he probably wouldn't do, normally, with practice in the morning. But fuck that when he felt weird like this, and he felt this insane flash of victory before he even got on the treadmill. It felt like, he didn't even know, having a whole day where he made Varsity go do his bidding, or something like that. Also, it was kind of giving him a boner. Clearly he was going crazy. He shrugged and hopped on the treadmill, putting his headphones in. He had this insane urge to play Scrabble now, too. Man, maybe he should lay off the pork rinds. Coach kept saying they'd fuck him up. He dreamed about his sisters making him wear a dress and go on So You Think You Can Dance, which is totally normal, and so by the time he rolled into practice, he was feeling pretty good. It helped that he paid attention to the weird mom guilt and ate some oatmeal. It was stupid anyway. He totally watched what he ate most of the time. He was just relaxing yesterday. Taser was getting dressed and looked constipated, like more than usual, and in a really constipated way, not in the normal I'm your captain constipated way. He was so busy trying to figure out if that made any sense that when Johnny said, "Hey, man, you okay?" he said, "I had some oatmeal." Taser, because he wasn't a crazy person, blinked and said, that's good, Kaner." Now he felt worried for no reason. Awesome. He could call his mom and see if it was her time of the month, too. Wait, ew, or not. "I'm gonna go get dressed," he said. Normally, he'd talk and joke with the guys, saying dumb shit and getting ribbed for it. But today he couldn't do anything except lace up his skates and hope this mindfuck didn't extend to his game. It was a massive relief when it didn't. If anything, he and Taser were fucking on more than usual. Coach seemed pretty happy with them, which was saying a lot. They were fucking around in the locker room afterwards, getting undressed and talking shit on Birch's mom, when Johnny stood up, shirtless and toweling his hair off, and Kaner handed him some water without thinking, because it seemed incredibly obvious that the guy was thirsty. "Yeah," Boland said after a really long moment. "Okay, guys." If Johnny noticed the "are you dying / fucking with us" stares, he didn't show it. He just said, "Thanks," drained the bottle, and handed it back to Kaner, like he was supposed to refill it or something. "Oh, sorry," Johnny said, and went to refill it. Maybe, Kaner thought, he was getting a superpower, and this was just the lame beginning of it. That would be awesome and completely worth the freakout he was definitely not going to have. When he got the water bottle back, he jumped on Buff and dumped half of it on him. That was distracting enough that by the time he'd gotten the bong sweat out of his hair, Taser'd already gone. He didn't think about what had just happened, because if he did, he'd freak out and wreck his Hummer or something, and aside from all the property damage, the guys would never quit laughing. When he got home, though, he flopped down on his couch, stared at the ceiling, and very seriously thought about checking himself into a nut house. Except, and this was the big thing, Taser had obviously felt it too, what with the thing with the water and all. Kaner wondered if he'd figured it out yet. What would it be like, having Kaner in his head? Was he going out and banging ladies or something? Probably. Well, maybe. It wasn't like Taser had game, so maybe he was just taking Kaner's sex drive and jerking off a bunch. He might not be good at picking up girls, but that probably just meant he was really good at jerking off. But no, hang on, that wasn't the point. The point was freaky superpowers, and whether or not Kaner was going to go from being a hockey player to, okay, still a hockey player, but one in a padded room. The press would hound the guys for quotes, and Birch would probably say he'd always known something was up. The padded room wasn't an option. So, he just kind of lay there and panicked until he realized how hungry he was, and then he ate a burger with the whole wheat bun and some vegetables. It was basically what he'd been planning on eating anyway, but he felt kind of triumphant making it up, like he was doing his newly gigantic taser conscience good or something. He'd almost finished eating it when the buzzer sounded. He buzzed whoever was in without checking. When he opened the door to Taser's worried face, he kind of regretted it. "Hey," Taser said. "You want to play a game or something?" Kaner stepped aside so he could come in. Taser looked seriously out of it, slumped shoulders and tense. Kaner knew why, and he knew he should do something about it, but he wasn't going to bring it up. What if the water bottle thing had been a coincidence? Fuck, and also, no. Still, "Everything okay, man?" "Yeah." Taser's smile was the fakest thing this side of L.A. boobs. "Sure then," Kaner said, already heading for the living room. "As long as it's not Scrabble." Taser was surprised, but then, Kaner probably would have known that without superpowers. You didn't room with someone and hang out with them and play opposite of them without picking up on the vague movements that counted as facial expressions for the guy. "I played Scrabble last night, so no." Score 1 point for the freaky superpowers theory. "Fucking weird, man. I had, like, a Scrabble craving, so what?" He sat down on the couch and Johnny was hovering, looking more and more awkward by the second. "Sit down? Holy shit." It was kind of scary when Taser did what he said, plopping down on the couch with 2 feet between them. And it wasn't like he'd normally sit in Kaner's lap or anything, but... "Oh my god, are you gonna make me do this? Fine. Things are fucking weird, right?" Taser stared at his shoes. "What'd you eat for dinner?" "Your mom. Why?" "Seriously, Kaner." He knew he sounded like someone had just pissed in his shoes, but Taser wasn't coming out and saying it, and he was supposed to be the guy who did the hard stuff. Kaner couldn't just say it. "A fucking low-fat whole wheat burger and frozen vegetables. Did Coach send you over here to ask what I eat? Because I swear, man, I don't fuck around with eating more than, I mean, a little, but..." Taser looked at him in this sudden, insane, he didn't even know what to call it. This jolt just went through him, and he knew Taser well enough to read his expression, to know that it had happened to him, too. Team Freaky Superhours had just won. "I think," Taser said, not looking away from him, "that we have a problem." "Right, sure, okay." Kaner could deal with this. This was Kaner dealing. "I don't know what you're talking about," Kaner said, voice unnaturally high. "We can, I don't know, sense shit." Taser's voice turned accusatory. "I keep wanting to get trashed." "What, like you never went to a bar in the middle of the day?" "Not since I started playing for..." "Whatever," Kaner said loudly. "Fine, I'm in your head and you're in mine." "I wanted to eat something fried. I didn't want to work out." "So you're saying I got the stick out of your ass? I should get a medal." Taser made a frustrated noise. "I'm not someone's grandma. I know how to have fun." "Sure, man. Whatever makes you sleep at night." "We need to deal with this." "It could just be a coincidence." Why was he saying that? He knew it wasn't. But somehow talking about it made it sound even crazier. Kaner gave up and settled on looking like he actually believed what he was saying. But Taser just set his jaw. He never bought Kaner's shit, and he probably wasn't going to start when he could feel what Kaner was feeling. Maybe. I hope so. But I don't think it is. It'd be easier if he'd gone nuts and insisted it was real. Then Kaner could have just called him crazy, and that would have been the end of it. Instead, he was sitting there thinking that, yeah, maybe Johnny was wrong, except Johnny was hardly ever wrong. About, like, important things. Superman did so have freeze breath. And things have been really fucking weird. It might go away if it's something we might, you know, go to sleep and wake up and be fine. Maybe. Stop saying maybe, Kaner said, way louder than he meant it to be. I said it once. Taser snapped back. Oh, great. He was freaked out, too. Was Kaner going to have to be the one who made them settle? Just, okay, you know what? Whatever. Sit down. We're going to play Halo. I'm already sitting. Kaner scooted closer, so he'd be able to jostle Johnny while they played. Now you are, asshole. Come on. Shoot some bad guys. It'll make us feel better. His brain was nice and boring, and, he thought, hopefully not invaded by Taser's feelings or whatever, when Taser cracked a little smile and said, "Yeah, okay, give me a controller." It would go away and they'd laugh about it. Or maybe they were just both imagining it. It had been a long week. Either way, things would go back to normal. They had to. Except, actually, it got worse. And not in a day, or even in a few hours. It got worse when Kaner went to get some popcorn and suddenly felt pain in his elbow, standing in the middle of his kitchen. "What'd you do?" "Nothing," Johnny said. Except he sounded like nothing was actually something really embarrassing. So Kaner went back out into the living room, completely ready to mock the shit out of him. Sure enough, he was sitting next to the doorframe, rubbing his elbow. "Aren't you supposed to be an athlete? Good job, man." "Wait, doorframe. Where were you going?" Taser shrugged. "Needed some air. I'm going to hog the popcorn. All of it." To prove it, he shoved a handful into his mouth. "Sure thing, Kaner." And just like that, he left. And, okay, it wasn't like Taser was his dad or something, but the fact that he was obviously freaked out, and maybe part of how freaked out Kaner was actually how freaked out Taser was, just thinking about it made it worse, was just, if Taser couldn't stay calm about it, and everyone else would just think they were crazy, what the fuck were they going to do? Except get really, really drunk, obviously. Not right now, though. Because Johnny'd be back in just a minute, and anyway, he'd probably feel it. Which meant he'd probably feel it any other time, too. But if he wasn't in Kaner's apartment, then he could just ignore the buzzer and drink more. There were issues with the plan, like having to go to practice and everything, but he thought he could work those out. Taser came back in after 15 minutes. Exactly 15 minutes. "You're an anal motherfucker," Kaner said without looking up from the TV. "Hey." Taser went and stood in front. Kaner'd call him an asshole, except he looked serious, and a little like a teddy bear. "Don't freak out, okay?" "I'm fine. Aren't you fine?" A second for him to think about how stupid that sounded, and then, "You know I'm not. And I know you're not. And, oh hey, idea. Hey, wanna get really drunk?" For a second he thought Taser was going to give him a disappointed face. But then Taser said, "Actually, yeah." An hour later, they'd had 5 shots each and were well on their way to being completely blitzed. They weren't really talking anymore, because they could both feel how drunk the other was, and it was just... it was weird. Fucking weird, and uncomfortable, and obviously the best excuse to do another shot. A few hours after that, Taser ended up with his head in Kaner's lap, and then there was a lot of thinking about how soft Kaner's jeans were. Kaner had no idea what was in his head and what was in Taser's, but he was pretty sure that he licked Taser's spine before passing out with his face on top of Taser's ass. "Ow," Kaner said when he woke up. Half of that was the still-drunk, almost hungover feeling, but the other half was definitely because he'd just been tossed onto the floor of his own apartment. "Go to bed or something," Taser said, and rolled over, shoving his face in a pillow. Kaner was going to tell everybody what a shitty guest he was. "No, you're not," Taser said. "Go to bed." Wait, unfair. Johnny could hear his thoughts, but he couldn't hear Johnny's? "Hey," he said. It was too loud. They both winced. "The self-hating part," Taser said. "That's me. Get out before I kill you." Actually, now that he thought about it, he did kind of want to kill himself. More than usual, considering the hangover. Which, by the way, was still all Johnny's fault. "Get out," Johnny said. And then all the books Kaner put on his coffee table to make him look smart were being thrown at his head. He grabbed a bottle of wine on his way out and lay in bed for a few minutes, chugging it and enjoying the waves of hatred coming into his brain from Johnny. If he had to suffer, they both did. Actually, he dropped the bottle of wine in favor of sticking a hand in his pants. It would be really, really hilarious if all of a sudden he couldn't stop thinking about his grandma naked, and also he really was drunk. Because he hadn't even been hard to start with. "You don't even know what my grandma looks like," he yelled. Tried to. It was probably good for not getting murdered that he passed out again. This time when he woke up, it was to roll over and puke on the floor. Or actually, he grabbed the wastebasket he definitely hadn't put next to the bed and puked into it. So Taser was up. He probably could have felt him, maybe, if he hadn't been so hungover he was about to die. "You're not about to die," Taser said from the doorway. Kaner put the puke-filled wastebasket on the floor and squinted at Taser. He'd showered and was carrying tea, and just generally looked really put together. And nice. "This is your fault," Kaner said. "I don't look nice. I just look better than you. I got you water. Drink it." Taser sipped his tea, like he thought maybe Kaner was a monkey who'd only learned by demonstration or something. "Wait, that was your thought, not mine." It hurt to wag a finger, but he did it anyway, because the waves of annoyance from Johnny were totally worth it. "I'm not a monkey, man." "Just drink the water," Taser said, and left. He closed the door behind him, like it mattered when they lived in each other's heads. "Oh, okay." That was coming across loud and clear. Johnny just didn't want to look at him. And here Kaner thought they had a bond or something. "Fine, fine, fine," he thought, and sat up enough to drink his water. He probably smelled like ass. He did smell like ass, Taser informed him. So he should shower, like Taser had. Only that meant getting out of bed. Kaner frowned, stared at his feet under the blanket, and didn't move. He thought he might get away with it for a second, but then his head was full of images of Coach glaring at him, and his sister shaking their heads, and his mom frowning. "Low blow, man," he said out loud, and stumbled out of bed. By the time he'd showered and put his pants on, he was starving. But when he stumbled out to the kitchen, Taser was just sitting there with his tea and a bowl of Lucky Charms that Kaner had somehow knew was the last bowl. "You drink tea?" he said, leaning against the counter. He was way too close, apparently. "I brushed my teeth. Get over it." "I drink tea when I'm hungover," Taser said. Kaner would have made fun of the image of Taser's mom feeding him tea and chicken noodle soup if Kaner's own mom hadn't told the world's most embarrassing little Pat stories when she met Taser. Plus, "I don't have tea." An image of Taser buying tea and cereal at the convenience store came over, loud and clear. "So you sat in my apartment and drank tea and ate all the Lucky Charms you bought?" Kaner cracked up, because seriously, what? That's fucking gay, man. "There's nothing gay about Lucky Charms. Rainbows. And tea." Taser frowned, and Kaner felt like a bad person. Again. "Cut it out." "I'm not doing anything," Taser said. "You're making me feel like a bad person," would have sounded stupid, except judging by the look Taser was giving him, it was too late anyway. "Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. It's not gay. You're just a tea-drinking, rainbow marshmallow-eating." "I am going to go," Taser said, and before Kaner could do much more than blink at him, he shoved his feet in his shoes, grabbed his coat, and left. And whatever feelings might be going on were weirdly fuzzy, like Taser had changed the channel on their freaky brain bond or something. Unfair. Kaner sat at the bar and finished the Lucky Charms and the stupid tea. It didn't help his headache, and it wasn't very comforting. Maybe it was a Canadian thing. Or a gay thing, the 5-year-old part of him added. And then, just in case, he took it back. He didn't want to... whatever. If Taser was pissed, then he'd just be pissed at himself, too, and... it didn't actually matter. They were just hungover, and if Kaner knew anything, then it was that his IQ seriously dropped post-booze. "See you at practice," he thought in what he hoped was vaguely Taser's direction. He lay on his couch, fucking around for a few hours, before getting the urge to watch Family Guy. He had the DVD popped in and everything before he realized that it wasn't just his urge. He felt fucking generous when he let Taser pick the first episode. They spent a few hours batting emotions back and forth. Kaner didn't think any gay jokes, and Taser only made him feel like a bad person once. This time, Taser was the first person to go to sleep. It was kind of interesting, the weird, warm feeling he got when Taser was sleeping. He would have, like, analyzed it if he hadn't been so tired, and if practice hadn't been tomorrow. So instead, he just wallowed in the feeling until he fell asleep. Actually, put like that, the whole thing was pretty gay. Whatever. Taser was too busy sleeping to be disappointed in him for that one. Practice fucking rocked. They were so on that no one even hit him when he did a victory booty dance in the locker room. Actually, Burish looked like he was about to, but Taser put a hand on his shoulder and said, "That's enough, Kaner," and he stopped. And then got ridden for being whipped. Whatever. They wished they were brain-bonded with that. Oh, yeah. Completely alone in his apartment, Kaner laughed. Taser's embarrassment was the size of the sun. He thought about maybe poking at him more, like, thinking about Taser naked, maybe. He had a nice ass. Not as nice as that girl at McDonald's, but still. That wasn't fair. Kaner did so have standards. Hot people went to McDonald's all the time. He messed with the Wii controller a little. It wasn't all that late, and he was bored. And if Taser was paying this much attention to him, then he had to be bored too. Come on, Taser, put two and two together. 20 minutes later, he was buzzing Taser up. Did you take a taxi? I knew you wanted some of this. Taser rolled his eyes. Stop embarrassing yourself. Grab a beer, Kaner said. We're gonna play Mario. In a way, it wasn't as good as playing with the guys, because there were only two of them, and Kaner wasn't man enough to give Johnny all the mocking he needed for being such a freak about the game. And it was kind of hard to compete with someone who could read your mind. Speaking of which, are you better than me at this or something? The scores say so. I mean the brain thing. And wow, was it still weird to talk about? And think about? That's why I wasn't thinking about it, Taser said. It's just... Kaner waited patiently for about 3 seconds before saying, Just what? Impatience. You could pay attention. Something about the look Johnny was giving him. Annoyed but not surprised. Like he'd figured Kaner was going to be stupid about this. Like he just assumed. Pissed him off. Before he knew what he was doing, he'd thrown the controller down and was glaring at Johnny. Do it then. I am. Pay attention, he didn't say again. But it came through, loud and clear anyway. It wasn't like Kaner had never concentrated or tried hard before. He was an athlete, for fuck's sake. But muscle memory wasn't the same thing as focusing on this, whatever it was. This was basically a challenge, though, so he focused on the bond. He narrowed his attention until he could feel not just the surface shit Johnny'd been throwing at him, but other stuff. How freaked out Johnny was. This constant undercurrent of fear layered over with the need to be responsible. Which was, Kaner thought, totally insane. This wasn't the time for the sea, it just wasn't. Along with affection... At least it happened with a friend, and... There was too much. Kaner pulled back. He didn't realize he was out of breath until he said, That's intense. Exactly. So Taser wasn't just rolling with it. Good to know. Except how it wasn't. Because if Taser was panicking, and Kaner was still panicking, then what the fuck were they going to do? Hey. Johnny didn't touch him, but it still felt like he had. We're playing okay. So we'll be okay. Yeah, that was basically the most fucked up, stupid thing that had ever come out of Taser's mouth, and it made Kaner feel so much better he was practically dizzy with it. If it didn't throw them off their game, it might be important, it might be huge, but it wasn't the end of the world. Nothing close. Go grab me a soda. Not a beer? Since he really, really wanted to be drunk off his ass and drooling into his pillow again, no. Taser got up and brought him the soda. When he sat back down, they both reached for the controllers and started playing again. 2 hours later, Taser left. They hadn't said another word to each other, and it was... comfortable, Taser suggested. The bond was still steady, definitely stronger than it had been a few days ago, apparently unaffected by the distance. Yeah, Kaner thought. In maybe the weirdest, stupidest way possible, it had been comfortable. Which is why he was waiting for the other shoe to drop. As it turned out, he didn't have to wait long. He woke up with morning wood and the world's worst, guiltiest feeling, like he'd stabbed a puppy. Taser's guilt could go fuck itself. He hadn't had a boner what felt like forever, but it had actually been 3 days. And maybe Taser felt like he was a peeping Tom or something. Because everyone wanted Kaner's ass, obviously. It was a fact. But Kaner was going to have fun. And no, not even the full weight of Taser's disappointment could keep him down. See, Johnny, he thought. That's a pun. That actually made Taser roll his eyes at him, which made him grin, and then close his eyes when he got his hand around his dick, because holy shit. He didn't think about Taser, obviously. That would have been weird. But he also didn't think around Taser. He just ignored the bond as much as he could and brought up the usual tits and ass. It didn't help that he felt judged anyways. Just knowing Taser knew, somehow, made him positive he was being judged. But whatever. Tits, ass, a fucking a hot girl, it didn't actually matter, because it took him maybe 2 minutes, tops, before he was coming. And now that he let himself refocus, he could tell that Taser was so embarrassed he wanted to stick his head literally in a sand pit, and also that he was turned on. Go for it, he thought at Taser, and sent over suggestions. Angelina Jolie, topless beaches, the girl from that one porno with the ass, like, wow. That was a lot of dicks, Taser was thinking about. Actually, it was only two, but it was two more than Kaner had thought about. unless you counted Taser, which Kaner didn't because he'd been ignoring him, and oh fuck. This was so incredibly awkward, especially since he was going to get a boner again if the fucking waves of what the fuck ever didn't stop. And then, because Taser was fucking perfect at fucking everything, they did. Kaner lay there, not remotely alone in his head, but also without a front row seat to Taser's boner. He was thinking about getting up when Taser sent him back a kind of confused reassurance that made it completely obvious that he'd gotten it off. And that was fine, he thought. It was completely fine. It was so fine, in fact, that Kaner was going to just do the same thing the next time he needed a jerk off. And he'd think about some hot girl, and Taser would think about dicks, and it would be completely fine. In fact, maybe Kaner would buy Taser a magazine with naked dudes on it, just to show him how fine it was. Okay. Taser didn't like that idea, so maybe he wouldn't. But seriously, Kaner thought at him. Guys? Guys and girls, Taser told him. So, he thought about it. A chick with a beard. Chick with a dick? Guys and girls, not guy and girl. Also, Taser told him, he was a moron. Kaner grinned. Taser was annoyed, and he had a half hour before he actually had to get up and go to practice. Life was good. They got used to each other. It sounded really weird, getting used to your friend who was also your teammate, basically living in your head. But it happened. Kaner figured it had to happen, or else they both would have gone crazy. But that didn't mean nobody noticed. Coach was really happy with them, but Coach wasn't in the locker room when Kaner threw a cold compress at Taser's head because he'd pulled a muscle. "Did you see it happen or something?" Dunks asked when Taves nodded a thanks and slapped it on his shoulder. Kaner was an awesome liar. He was a lying machine. He was sitting there, staring at Dunks, while Taser got more and more alarmed. "No?" Kaner said finally, but he was limping. "It's his shoulder," Dunks said. "Nobody care, man," Kaner said. "It's important." Dunks gave him a look that said he thought Kaner was on the good drugs, but he didn't say anything else. He couldn't. It wasn't like there was anything wrong. Kaner got a lucky break when Sieb grabbed his bag and jostled Dunks' shoulder. "Come on." They left together. Kaner was getting a weird vibe from Taser. Speculative. Did Taser think they were fucking or something? Taser stood up. He didn't think it was any of their business, actually. Kaner finally connected the dots, because there were other guys around, and some of them were probably thinking the same thing, and Taser was into guys, and Dunks and Siebes were into each other. Oh, duh. "See you tomorrow, man," he said to Taser, and grabbed a taxi home. Taser left him alone for a half hour before poking him to see if he was okay with the whole dudes-on-their-team-boning thing. Kaner just sent him back a mental shrug, because, seriously, did it matter? He and Taser were attached to the brain. Even gay sex wasn't weirder than that. Though it did make him wonder which one of them did the catching in the relationship. Taser didn't have an opinion, which Kaner thought was pretty fun-hating of him. Actually, right now, his main thought was how relieved he was that Kaner didn't flip out about Dunks and Siebes. And whoa, Kaner thought as Taser hauled up some mental static. He wasn't supposed to have gotten that. Whatever. It wasn't like he hated gay people. He just thought dick was weird, and Taser was weird for being into it. He could see how fucking your partner would make it easier on the ice, though. Especially for people who didn't have an actual crazy telepathic bond. Maybe fucking someone in the ass made you better at communicating. "Actually, it doesn't," Taser's voice said in his head. It was as loud and clear as if he was sitting next to Kaner. "Thanks, man. Images I didn't need," he said out loud. And then he concentrated. "Thanks, man. Images I didn't need. I heard you the first time." "So you sound Canadian in your own head, too, huh?" Apparently, Taser didn't need words to tell Kaner how stupid he thought that was. He settled back and turned on the TV. "So it's getting worse." "You mean the..." "Talking in each other's brains, man. Yeah. We should be prepared for things changing even more." "How much worse could it get?" Taser sent him this bizarre feeling of doom. Kaner rolled his eyes. "Take the C off. It'll be fine. Come on, this is better. We can actually talk now." Still doom, and now there was skepticism and the general feeling that Kaner wasn't taking things seriously. "Flattering. You don't really think that," Taser said. "I think this whole thing's fucking weird, and you're stressing out way too much. We can't get ready for this. We're just going to wing it." Kanner got this bizarre series of images, one coming after the other so quickly that he could barely keep up with them. Kanner on the ice, laughing at something he couldn't see. Kanner in his rookie year, passing a bottle of vodka back and forth with Taser in the hotel room until he's passed out and drooling on his pillow. Kanner's expression after Taser yells at him, pissed off enough that he outskates virtually everyone just to prove Taser wrong, and then ends up puking afterwards. Kanner hitting on some girl at a bar, doing a shot and falling into someone's nachos when the girl laughs. Basically, every stupid and impulsive moment he'd had in front of Taser, crystal clear. And Taser still wasn't saying anything. "What are you trying to say?" he said finally. "Nothing," Taser said after a minute. "Just, you're nothing." There was that feeling again, the weirdly affectionate vibe from Taser that always made Kanner feel kind of suspicious, like maybe he was Stockholming the guy or something. His stomach twinged. Food. Let's get food. For a second he thought Taser was going to turn him down, but where? Kanner sent the address of a diner and got up, pulling pants back on. If Taser caught any of the weird urges Kanner was getting to see Taser in person, he didn't say anything. Maybe he felt the same way. It wasn't like he was taking advantage of the bond to suddenly become Mr. Overshare or anything. It was just easier, being able to see Johnny's face. Maybe he was still more freaked out than he realized. The diner was a greasy spot downtown that wanted to be a hole in the wall. It maybe would have been if it had been anywhere but downtown. Taser was uncomfortable, like he thought maybe a hobo was going to jump out and try to stab him or something. "That's not it," Taser said. "Everything's weird right now." It would have been nice if Kanner could just tell exactly what he meant through the bond, but all he was getting was a ball of emotion that didn't make much sense. "Sure, whatever. Order some eggs or something." Taser pulled a face. "That's not going to help." "Then order some weird Canadian food. I don't care, just..." "Stop freaking you out?" Kanner looked away. Not that it would help. He didn't know if it was even possible to lie to Taser anymore. "I'm not freaked out." "You can lie to me." "But you know I'm freaked out." Johnny sighed. "You could lie to me about other things. Probably. Which, okay, maybe, but..." Kanner frowned. "Wait, how do you know? What have you been lying about?" Nothing but that same weird ball of emotion and a frown on Taser's face. "Fine, then." Kanner opened his mouth to tell him off, but the waitress cut him off. "Hello, boys. Can I get you anything?" "Skillet for him, pancakes for me," Kanner said, "and a soda for both of us." "Coke okay? What kind of toast for you?" "Wheat," Johnny said. "Coke's fine." "I'll have it for you in just a minute," she said, and left, which meant they were alone again. "Damn it." "I haven't been lying," Johnny said, not looking at him. "Yeah, okay. I have sisters, remember? You're a lying motherfucker who lies." And Taser's face just... it looked pinched, and he was practically knocking Kanner over with how upset he was. The waitress set their cokes down, and Kanner gave up. Fine, whatever. Lie to me, baby. Lie to me. He knew exactly how stupid that sounded, which is why he fist-pumped when it made Taser laugh. It turned out that neither of them was hungry enough to eat a whole lot. Kanner would have eaten all of his pancakes and all of Johnny's food if he hadn't known Johnny'd be able to tell that his stomach felt ready to explode. So instead he admitted defeat after 3 pancakes and 2 cokes and said, "We need to have some rules." Taser was making better headway on his eggs. He ended up choking a little. "Rules? Keep it out loud, man. Rules. Like, showering, jerking off, that kind of thing." Taser blinked at him. "It'll sound weirder out loud than if we plan it in our heads. If we talk about jerking off..." "Oh, hi, images." Kanner actually leaned back. He could feel himself turning red. "See? You're not 12. Just don't think about it too much." "Easy for you to say." "Okay, that made no sense. So you can turn it off, right? You could teach me how to do it, so next time I'm, you know, jerking it." Now Taser was the one who was red. "Jerking it? That's not the point, Captain. Don't... turn it off. No peeking in the shower. Next time I bring a girl home, I'll turn it off then, too." He got a flurry of thoughts next. "You never get laid. Why do you think I wouldn't bring someone home? Is this just an excuse to talk about sex?" "Kind of," he smiled. "Who says I need an excuse?" Taser shook his head. "You need to get better at lying, Kanner." Which was funny coming from someone who looked like you'd kill his puppy in front of him if you told him a lie. It's different now. Kaner rolled his eyes. Stop it with the guilt, man. I know that. And Johnny didn't stop with the guilt, because that was just who he was. But things were pretty comfortable anyway. They went their separate ways after the diner, and Johnny just kind of rode around in the back of his head for the rest of the day. They didn't even talk much. It was sort of nice, in a bizarre and kind of scary way. A week later, they'd pretty much settled into a routine, and things were going well. They were skating hard, playing well, and had gotten better at not obviously reading each other's minds. So then Taser had to go and get himself concussed by Willie Mitchell. And it wasn't like Kaner was some kind of kid. Hockey was a fucking contact sport, and it was just a concussion. He'd be fine. He'd miss games, and it would suck the big one, but he wasn't dying. It was just that he could feel every bit of pain through the bond, and it was so fucking horrible and distracting that he could barely think. He finally managed to block the pain out, hours after it happened, without muting the whole bond. It would have felt like an actual accomplishment if he wasn't so fucking worried. Taser kept radiating comfort at him, like maybe if he told Kaner it was okay enough times, Kaner would stop thinking about how he couldn't skate. And he knew it was affecting his game way more than it should. He didn't miss the worried looks Dunks and Siebes kept sending him, or the expression on Sharpie's face that said he was thinking about giving him a talk. It was just, calm down. 3 games, Taser. 3 fucking games. You've been skating okay. The team will be okay without me. Kaner didn't bother with words. He figured he was sending how stupid he thought Taser was being through loud and clear. All he got back was frustration. It's hard for me too, you know. If there was one thing he'd learned in the past 2 weeks, actually, it was that Taser was way less of an adult than he'd always projected. It should have been comforting or funny, but mostly Kaner just felt vaguely annoyed, like Taser'd somehow let him down. God, that sounded stupid even in his own head. Just make sure you're drinking lots of water, he said finally, and don't overdo it with the exercise, and... You know we have doctors, right? But the doctors weren't there. Taser was alone with his concussion and probably not enough Gatorade. I have enough Gatorade, Kaner. I'm coming over. Taser sent him the mental equivalent of an eye roll, but Kaner was already on his way out the door. Taser actually did have plenty of Gatorade, and he was watching SportsCenter without any sign of having done anything but be a model patient for roughly forever. Kaner rolled his eyes and took the cheese sticks he picked up at Taser's lap. It hit his neck and said, You know that could have been my head, right? Whatever. You want a beer? He could feel the look that Taser was giving him burning through the back of his head. Are you serious? Kaner grinned. Nah. No, seriously, eat the cheese. That shit's good for you. I don't think it's really cheese. Exactly. Taser tossed the cheese back to him. Go ahead. So Kaner unwrapped 2, shoving 1 in each side of his mouth and plopping down on the couch. He got the feeling that meant Taser kind of wanted to hit him. Too bad you can't move strenuously, huh? You're not that hard to hit, Kaner. Turn the channel. This is boring. It was baseball. Baseball sucked. Okay, it didn't, and Kaner was just being difficult. Whatever. Taser shrugged. I checked. No hockey. Then we could watch... I don't know. He was thinking of options, but they all sounded too gay. Well, or not gay enough. Taser was mocking him for how many Lifetime movies he'd seen. Whatever, man. We can't all rewatch Slapshot 90 times. It was actually a guess, but Taser turned pink. Ha. Kaner hopped on the couch, shoving his feet under Taser's ass. Give me your pillows. No. Come on, man. Why do you have to talk? Your voice is annoying. That's why. Pillows. Now. Taser just gave him another look. Pillows, and I'll stop talking. Deal? Taser rolled his eyes and tossed him the pillows. Kaner didn't miss the way he moved, carefully, like he was still bruised. He was pretty sure asking to see the bruises would get him hit. It would, Taser said. Yeah, okay, Kaner said, but... Taser hit him with the pillow, so he decided to shut up. But the pillows really were flat, and whatever, so Kaner had totally useless skills. He punched the pillow into shape, turning it so it was evenly fluffed. Do you have any with feathers? My mom bought them. Kaner threw the pillows back. They were the perfect shape. He was a pillow-fluffing master. Yeah, I bought your mom last night, if you know what I mean. Taser didn't dignify that with a response, so Kanner just propped his feet up and went about trying to get closer. Since they started the whole crazy mind meld thing, it usually took him about an hour before he could end up with his feet shoved under Taser's ass. But he was concentrating hard enough that this time he managed it practically right away. Also, Taser was probably weakened by illness and... I can still hear you. Kanner poked Taser's thigh, then poked it again. Are you supposed to be in physical therapy or something? It's a concussion, Kanner. You're tense. Tenser than usual, actually. Kanner poked him again. Hey, can I? No. Taser scooted away. No, definitely not. Don't. What happened next got a little blurred. Kanner made a dive for Taser's legs, and Taser kind of rolled, and somehow Kanner ended up with his face in Taser's armpit, and they were both on the floor. It wasn't real wrestling. They were both being careful of Taser's head, but they were shoving at each other and rolling, and Kanner was laughing right up until Taser got an arm around his neck, and Kanner realized that his hard-on was pressing into the carpet. He got up in record time, sending anything he could think of that wasn't sex-related in Taser's direction. Kitten, puppies, old people, sex. Not sex, not sex. Sorry, man, he said, and scooted back till he was sitting with his back against the couch. Taser should have called him on it. He was big on honesty, owning your mistakes, blah, blah, blah. But instead, he just got back on the couch and gave Kanner a really slow, measured look. Turn on the Wii, we'll play. Honestly, Kanner would have preferred the lecture. Especially since then he could have gotten pissed, left, and jerked off. Instead, he was stuck on Taser's floor, playing Wii with him while Taser sent him blank metal static and made smug noises every time he beat Kanner. They didn't really talk after that. When it started getting dark, Kanner got up to leave, saying, "Don't forget to drink your fucking Gatorade, man. We need you back on the ice." Taser smiled. "I won't forget," and... But he broke it off, looking away. This whole mind connection thing should have made these conversations easier. What? Nothing. See you. It was definitely something, but Taser was radiating calm like a fucking Buddha or something, so Kanner just shrugged and left. He tried not to think about it on the way home. It wouldn't do any good, and anyway, it wasn't a big deal. So he'd gotten hard wrestling Taser. Big fucking deal. It happened. But Taser hadn't said anything, even through the bond. And that was weird, wasn't it? Even now, there was mostly static coming from Taser. Jesus, how embarrassed was he? Whatever. Kanner was going to walk it off. If Taser really wanted to have a heart-to-heart, he could start it. He walked home and jerked off, not thinking about the wrestling or anything except fucking a random hot girl. He didn't bother with the usual signals that meant don't listen, since Taser still wasn't really saying anything over the bond. Which was fine. He was concussed. He needed to rest. And it didn't matter anyway. It really didn't. Crazier things had happened. Just before he went to sleep, though, he opened the bond up a little more. It wasn't a big deal. He was just keeping things from getting weird. Taser got better, and no one found out how much Kanner had been hovering. Probably because then Taser would have had to tell people how he was letting it happen. And at the time, the golf trip seemed like a pretty good idea. Their dads were there, and Arizona wasn't too bad in November, and they had some time off, so hey, why not? It started out pretty well, until Taser was about to trip over nothing, and Kanner moved a little too quickly and caught him. That made Dad give him a weird look. Then Taser passed Kanner water and caught the bottle without looking when he tossed it back, and that made Taser's dad give him a weird look. Then Johnny started getting a headache, and Kanner gave him some asthma without either of them talking about it, and both their dads gave each other weird looks. So apparently the team had gotten used to their freaking mind meld without even knowing about it, because they were being really low-key and still really, really obvious. You think our dads have figured it out? I think they don't know what's going on, but they won't jump to psychic talking. You know, when I said I'd take one for the team, I didn't mean my dad being all weird at me. Amusement. You didn't actually say you'd take one for the team. Well, maybe I would have before today.
Pat, you okay?
Kanner turned and... Oh, right. He and Taser had been kind of staring at each other.
Oops.
Yeah. Something in my eye. His dad gave him the most skeptical look he'd gotten since that time with his friend's cousin in his mom's SUV, which was completely unfair. Kanner wasn't even naked this time. Feel like we're gonna get talks later? Taser's expression was grim. Yeah. Sure enough, they'd barely stowed the equipment in their hotel rooms before Dad said, "Patrick, let's talk." He tried not to look nervous, He hadn't been doing anything wrong. But it wasn't really working, partly because Taser was nervous, too. Coordinated dad talks. Seriously. He didn't deserve this. You know you can tell me anything, right, Pat? Oh, God. It was one of these talks. I didn't get Taser pregnant, Dad. I promise. His dad winced. Yeah, because this was so hard for him, for sure. That's not what I mean. I just mean that if you're not sure about something, if your mother and I, you can talk to us. Except if he and Taser were like, actually, we can hear each other in our heads, they'd be committed. Sure, Kaner said. Totally. I know. His dad just waited, like he thought maybe Kaner was going to start confessing things if he looked at him long enough. To be fair, it worked before. But this wasn't the same as getting drunk and pissing on the neighbor's lawn. It felt like forever before he sighed and said, okay, just be careful, Pat. Yeah, totally, Kaner said. Holy shit, is yours done yet? Taser didn't send him back anything but a vague sense of panic. Somehow, Kaner couldn't make fun of him. I'm gonna go find Taser, he said. The look his dad gave him was another thing that should have been funny and wasn't. Okay, I'll be here. Taser and his dad were barely around the corner. They were being really quiet and looked both pretty calm, and the vending machines almost drowned out what they were saying, but Kaner tried to eavesdrop anyway. Not anything. Kaner's not... He wouldn't. Okay? Damn. That was the worst Kaner'd ever heard him sound, even. Come and get me, you asshole! Oh, right. Oops. Hey, Kaner said, coming out from behind the corner and slinging an arm around Johnny's neck. Except the angle was kind of awkward, so it ended up just sort of squeezing his arms. We should go get something to eat. I'm starving. Taser's dad sighed. I'll get my keys, he said, and left. Kaner squeezed Taser before letting him go. He was kind of worried the guy'd pass out. His panic was so bad. Hey, you know, breathing is kind of good. Taser was bright, bright red. Thanks. What the hell did he say to you? You look ready to drop. Nothing, just... Taser looked away. My dad knows I'm into guys. Oh, sorry? It was just awkward. Awkward didn't usually make you look ready to pass out. But Kaner wasn't enough of an asshole to make things worse by pointing that out. Let's go, man. Don't worry. Just don't worry. It's fine. Kaner worked best on impulse. He reached down and grabbed Taser's wrist, holding it tight. He only held on for 2 seconds it took them to get to the room, but luckily it calmed Taser down a little. This whole thing was making Kaner jumpy enough for the both of them. That night, Kaner waited till Taser was asleep and dreaming before he rolled over and got a hand on his dick. He was exhausted, and his dad hadn't stopped with a weird look till he'd left, and Taser was tense and unhappy the whole night. And Kaner hadn't been able to help, since apparently they were having a torrid affair or something. Christ, what the hell kind of talk had his dad given him? Kaner closed his eyes, blocked out Taser's breathing, and in his mind, all sleepy and warm and fuck, this was awkward. And just, he didn't want to think. And he was awesome at not thinking. He was a Jedi fucking master at not thinking. So why the hell was it so hard to just stop? And not that he really needed to, apparently. He had to keep himself from panting, rocking his hips into the mattress and biting his lip and not thinking, just moving his hand faster and... Taser rolled over and sighed, and Kaner thought about that stupid fucking night and Taser's arm around his neck and came on his fucking sheets. He closed his eyes and pressed his face into the pillow, hands twisted in the sheets. Fuck, 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 fuck. He decided to just pretend like it hadn't happened. It had been a weird day, and Taser didn't know about it, so he was just not going to think about it. Weird shit happened all the time. It was fine. Getting away from the team over the holidays was pretty awesome, even if it was only 2 days. The Olympics were coming up, and he wasn't stupid. He knew there was a good chance he could play. He knew there was a good chance he could play against Taser. He didn't even know how that was going to work. Dad had obviously told Mom about his secret affair with Johnny or whatever. He practically bit his tongue off every time he almost brought Taser up, which is actually every couple minutes. It was normal, since they lived in each other's heads. Totally normal. After dinner, his mom said, "Help me with the dishes, Pat." His mom-dar must have been turned off or something. He didn't even register everything that was wrong with that, starting with the fact that his mom cooked and so dishes weren't her problem, and ending with the fact that they had a dishwasher, so it wasn't exactly a two-person job, until he was in the kitchen and effectively cornered. "So," his mom said, giving him a measured look. "Your father told me, you know." Kaner shook his head. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Don't talk around the issue, Pat. You and I both know your father thinks you're hung up on Jonathan." Hearing his whole name like that sounded more than a little terrifying. "Look, Mom, I'm not saying you have to talk about it. That's your father's thing, and even then, you're not required. Just..." She gave him a dry look. "Try not to do anything stupid." If it had been anyone else in the world, he would have been super pissed. But it was his mom, and she knew him, and okay. This whole thing was completely tragic, true, but at least she was being supportive about his fake gay romance. Thanks. I'm gonna, you know, go now. She patted his shoulder. "Good talk, Pat." He was really fucking glad to be alone after that clusterfuck. So what if he was hiding in his room? He completely deserved the solitude. Plus, if any of his sisters found out about it, he'd have to do something drastic. "You okay, Kaner?" "Oh, and also, distance hadn't done jack to the bond, and Kaner had no idea if he was happy about that or not. Family shit. You?" Vague puzzlement from Taser, since he knew they got along pretty obnoxiously well most times. "It's your fault, actually." Kaner tried to get humor across. "They think I'm, like, wasting away with love for you." Taser didn't think it was funny. If anything, he got even more tired. "Yeah, sure. Well, I'll see you soon." "Very soon. But not too soon." Taser must have been even more attached to routine than Kaner realized, because he relaxed like Kaner cut his puppet strings or something. "You should go to sleep. Don't you have to do a hayride in the morning or something?" That made Kaner roll his eyes. "No hayrides in December, jackass." "Talk to you in the morning." Kaner didn't answer. Whatever. He didn't need tucking in. That was for saps. Knowing Taser was there was good enough. The hilarious thing about waking up the morning of his flight back to Chicago was that despite the fact that he opened his eyes with his hand on his dick, for a few minutes he had no fucking clue what was going on. It didn't feel like him. It was weird. He reached out without thinking, because Taser always knew what was going on. And then he just sort of lost contact with the bed, and reality. Because Taser's hand was on his dick and he was jerking off frantically, completely open to Kaner. Like the first time Kaner jerked off, only 100 times worse, because the bond hadn't been a fraction as strong as it was now. He could feel Taser try to push him out, and he tried to go, and it didn't work for either of them. They were both too far gone. Taser wasn't even embarrassed, just so desperate that Kaner had to take his hands off his dick and grab the sheets with both hands to keep from doing something stupid, like trying to go even further and see what, exactly, Taser was thinking, what he was picturing. It was maybe 30 seconds before Taser came. The wave of relief hit Kaner so hard that he almost curled up in response, but the second he moved he was coming too, with the bond still open. It felt fucking fantastic, and he gave them 5 minutes, tops, before they both started regretting it. Sure enough, 2 minutes later, Taser's embarrassment was coming across loud and clear. "I'm sorry, I didn't realize. You were asleep, and I thought..." "Relax." Because Kaner himself was so relaxed, right? "Whatever, you're not perfect. It could have been a lot worse, right?" Johnny must have been able to tell just how much Kaner wanted him to take the fucking out, because he said, "Yeah, sure, and it won't happen again, I promise. I won't let it happen again." Disappointment hit him like a puck to the skull. He covered frantically, sending fake disappointment over with the real shit and saying, "You're breaking my heart. You're such a player." "Very funny." Kaner didn't reply, just sat up and leaned against the headboard, closing his eyes. He wasn't going to analyze this. There was no fucking way. "You should get up," Taser said after a few quiet minutes. "You've got a flight to catch." "We should hang out," Kaner said before he could lose his nerve? No, forget. "You know, in person. Maybe with some of the guys." But he got a big fat nothing back from Taser. Just a bunch of white noise and Taser saying, "Sure, maybe. We'll be busy, though." "Well, fuck you, too," Kaner very carefully didn't say. "Don't let this make things weird, man. Don't do that." "Things aren't weird." That same old tiredness now. "Fuck, and this was supposed to be a vacation. Just take a shower, Kaner. I had a bad night. I'm going back to sleep." That was a lie, but Kaner really did have a plane to catch, and anyway, Throwing down with Johnny wasn't going to do anything but make things weirder. So he got out of bed and showered and ignored the way he didn't really start breathing normally until he got the warm feeling from Taser that meant he was asleep. It took them a week and 4 days to get back to normal. Kaner knew, because he was counting. If Taser jerked off, Kaner didn't know about it. Kaner did the deed, but only when Taser was asleep, and half the time, not even then. They still talked, especially during games. They didn't have to, but Kaner had nightmare images of Coach yelling at him every time he thought about shutting down the bond for games. The weirdest thing was knowing they were going to the Olympics. Okay, fine, they'd both kind of figured, but kind of figuring and knowing you were going to play in the fucking Olympics were two totally different things. If things had been normal between them, then Kaner would have insisted on getting blitzed when Johnny found out and trashed when he himself found out. But things weren't normal, so there was celebrating and calls to his family, but no Taser. Kaner had no idea what fixed things. He just saw Taser in the locker room one day, and Taser looked relaxed and happy, and so Kaner punched his shoulder and sat down next to him. They got pizza after the game, and pizza became beer, which turned into wandering around downtown, trading emotional impressions and not much else. They woke up in their own apartments, and things were fine. Things were normal. And things were going to stay that way. It was 2 days till he left for Vancouver, and Kaner couldn't sleep. You nervous? I'm always nervous, Taser said. We'll figure it out. There's not going to be a we. There has to be. Kaner didn't answer. Things were going great. The Olympics were going to be fucking awesome, even if he had to skate over Taser's head to make them that way, but... We could shut the bond down, Taser said, if it'd make it easier. He thought about it. Taser didn't want to, that much was obvious, just from the emotions Kaner was getting. And he didn't want to either, but if it'd make their games better, then... During games, playing each other, we shut it down. And it wasn't like he hadn't known that Taser was irrational about the bond, but damn, we'll make it work. That's what I told you. Kaner laughed. Yeah, sure. He felt a little more relaxed now. Maybe enough to... Hey, shut the door. And then Taser hesitated. It didn't mean anything, probably. They were both tired. Kaner poked him again. Taser. Sorry. It came across almost too loudly, and then Taser was gone. They were getting better at that, Kaner thought, and pushed his boxers down. He wished they weren't. He was too fucking stressed to lie to himself. If Taser had stayed... Oh, fuck it. He opened the bond back up. Taser, get in here. Taser sent him this kind of formless panic. And Jesus, if he'd sat down and calculated exactly how to freak Kaner out, there was no way in hell he could have done it better than that. Come the fuck on, man. We both want it. I'm not... When he didn't say anything else, Kaner shrugged and started stroking himself again, nice and slow. Leave if you want. Jesus, Kaner. But from the wash of feeling that Kaner felt, he was picking the opposite, thank fucking God. Contrary to popular opinion, Kaner actually could be embarrassed, and Johnny leaving after Kaner done the middle and bottom equivalent of a booty dance would have done it for him. He let himself imagine what Johnny must look like, hand in his pants. Except Johnny sent him an image and fuck. He was stripped down to his boxers. Kaner wished he could see. He wouldn't want to admit later what it did for him, the feeling Johnny liked this, knowing he was getting off on Kaner warning him this bad. Come on, talk to me, he said. Don't be weird. This is weird. You might have noticed. The fuck ever, man. Kaner sped his hand up a little, reaching over and getting some lotion with his free hand, switching up for long enough to slick himself up a little more. You want this. You fucking know it. Riding around feeling each other all the time. A spike of feeling from Johnny, and then he said, spread your legs wider. It didn't make any sense, but Kaner did it anyway. Why? Embarrassment, and then Johnny's head filled up with images of Kaner. Oh well, okay, if Johnny was into the idea of Kaner doing gay fucking shit with his own ass, then Kaner wasn't going to argue. Not now, anyway. How much have you thought about this? Keep going. Kaner really wanted to push it. But he also really wanted this to keep going. So he closed his eyes and quit talking. And it was so fucking easy, almost too easy, to throw himself into this, to get caught up in what Johnny was feeling and send his own impressions back. He felt like he was going crazy, the feeling washing between them equal parts wanting to fuck someone into the mattress and just knowing Johnny, working with him. Christ, he thought, fighting off a seriously boner-killing panic. What the hell was wrong with him? Quit thinking, Johnny said. Come on, Kaner. Kaner had no idea how he managed to pull him even deeper into the bond, but he did, surrounding Kaner with feeling until Kaner had no idea where his own feeling was. And then he stopped caring, thrusting his hips up and moving his hand faster, and looking for the perfect speed, that exact fucking perfect feeling that would get him off. And then Johnny came, and yeah, that was fucking it. Good night and goodbye. Kaner was done, and it was fucking brain-meltingly amazing. When he finally came back to himself, Johnny was waiting, thoughts buzzing. Kaner didn't need to tune in more closely to know what he was thinking. Your turn to knock it off, he said, and wiped his hand clean. We. Later. Or you know what? How about never? We've got shit to do, man. That nettled Johnny, because Kaner was right, and he hated Kaner being right about something having to do with his fucking duty as a citizen of Canada, or whatever. Seriously, man, Kaner said, and projected helpful sleeping-inducing images of science. Jesus, Johnny said, sounding vaguely disgusted even in his own head. Kaner yawned and rolled over. Later, he said, and sent up as much mental static as he was able to, hoping that if he faked sleep, then the real shit would come and he wouldn't end up being the one freaking out lamely. Thankfully, it worked. They had the same flight, obviously, but it hadn't really hit Kaner exactly what that meant until he saw Johnny and thought, I know exactly what you think when you're jerking off. He didn't realize he projected it until Johnny turned bright red. Hey. Hey, Kaner said, shifting from one foot to the other. So, we should go through security, Johnny said. And Kaner got it, he really did. He kind of thought he'd get it, even if he couldn't read Johnny's mind. This thing between them, it didn't matter in the face of the goddamn Olympics. It couldn't matter. If there was one thing Johnny was good at, it was focusing on what really mattered. And if there was one thing Kaner was good at, it was letting Johnny focus him. Sure, he said. Yeah, let's go. As weird as the plane ride was, the ride from the airport to the village was the most awkward fucking experience he'd ever had. Kaner knew it was sort of insane to feel like they were breaking up, but he couldn't help it. They weren't just going to play for two different teams. They were going to play for two different, really fucking important teams. And Canada wasn't America's hat right now. It was like America's really angry, huge hat. The hat that Kaner was going to be living in for a few weeks. Okay, that actually made no sense. Nervous? Johnny said quietly. Kaner didn't look at him. Wouldn't you be? I am. And yeah, Kaner could feel that, just like he could feel how excited Johnny was and how unworthy he felt, because Johnny was actually a Boy Scout from the 50s. It'll be fine, he said after a minute. We'll beat your Canadian asses. He was joking, except for how he wasn't. A spike of humor from Johnny, more than a little competitiveness. And then Johnny picked up Kaner's hand, and Kaner's brain shorted out. Things might get weird. Johnny squeezed his hand. Really weird. Things were already weird. Johnny was so fucking serious, and Kaner felt every single point of contact burning his skin. He couldn't lean forward and kiss Johnny, but he could think about it, send the image to Johnny, and watch him catch his breath. We can't. I know. Kaner kept his eyes on Johnny. He felt stupid, but hey. But I want to. Which, seriously, should have been obvious. But Kaner watched Johnny tense up and knew that even if Johnny'd known, he still liked to be told. Johnny moved his thumb over Kaner's index finger. Kaner tightened his grip, keeping his mind open. Johnny wanted him, quiet and intense like everything Johnny did. Kaner wanted to fucking tackle him. They stayed like that for the rest of the taxi ride. Mind so close, Kaner knew Johnny was hearing every single thought that went through his mind. He was fine with it, though, because it meant he got to wallow in the steady affection coming from Johnny. Then they arrived, and the second Kaner got out of the taxi, Johnny tugged them apart. He tightened his hand on his luggage as he built up the block in his mind. Thought it was only during games. We need a few hours, Johnny said. Can't get distracted. We have to make sure this works. It was a responsible thing to do, and Kaner really wanted to kick something. I'll be seeing you, he said finally, and projected an image of himself making out with Johnny. It worked. Johnny turned bright red. He had Johnny blushing and he was at the motherfucking Olympics. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. The guys on the team were actually pretty fun. They were all pretty fucking nervous, but they adapted to each other's styles and made it work. Kanner felt kind of weird being up in Vancouver and not being able to talk to Johnny, and knowing Dunks and Siebes were still playing together, only for bigger stakes. But still, it was the fucking Olympics. And the village was insane. There were hot girls everywhere. Not that Kanner was going to pick any of them up. Johnny was this kind of low-grade buzz in his head right now, both of them trying not to spend time thinking about how they kind of missed each other. He wasn't going to fuck things up. Anyway, it wasn't like he'd been getting laid since the bond started. It was too weird. "How many condoms do you think you'll need?" Kanner said when they opened the bond up a little more. He was eating a burger, the not-so-fun kind, with healthy shit on the side. Johnny was hanging out with Siebes, the lucky bastard. Johnny felt more than a little aggrieved. "Tough luck." Kanner was bored. "I wasn't thinking about it." "I might need a few. Have you seen the figure skaters? Those are some hot chicks, man."
"Kanner?"
If Johnny was here, he'd be wearing his disappointed face. "Fine, I'll keep my virtue intact. All for you, baby." He thought that was laying it on kind of thick, but apparently it wasn't enough to keep Johnny from being incredibly embarrassed. Kanner smirked at his burger and took another bite. "America, fuck yeah." Things went to hell slightly when they started playing, and he sucked so bad Burke slammed him in the media. In retrospect, fucking duh. Fucking duh living in each other's heads would change how they played. Fucking duh without that Kane would be playing weirdly and expecting psychic passes that wouldn't come. Fucking duh. But it was too late to do anything about it. Plus which, Johnny was fucking fine. Jesus Christ, this was pathetic. "It'll get better," Johnny said quietly. Kaner, feeling like a little kid, shut him out completely. Whatever. Of course it would get better. He didn't need Johnny to tell him that. Playing Canada was insane. Canada was just off, no question about it. And halfway through the third period, Kaner started feeling Johnny's frustration pushing through the bond. It should have occurred to him, really, that things were going to be fucked up when they played each other. Well, he'd thought about it, but not like this. Not in terms of, if we win, Johnny will be pissed at me. They did win, and Kaner was almost knocked over by the force of feeling that happened when Johnny lowered the block, right as the game ended. Kaner wasn't even sure if it counted as pissed. There was anger there, sure, but it was directionless, more or less. It probably helped that Kaner had been trying not to gloat even before the bond was opened back up. Or at least, he was until the handshakes. Johnny lowering the block so early was fucking weird, and Kaner couldn't keep from saying, "Missed me that much, huh? Don't joke right now, Kaner." He tried to keep his attention on the line. He failed. "You'll get us back, I'm sure." "We'll play you for the gold." Determination washed over Kaner. It was bizarrely comforting. He finally actually got to Johnny, and before he could think about it too hard, pulled him closer. "I've still got to, you know," he said, "be better." Johnny said it with a completely straight face, and even with the bond, Kaner had no idea if he was joking or not. But it worked. "See you later, man," he said, and moved on. He didn't know whether to be surprised or annoyed when Johnny closed the bond back up before they even got off the ice. Why the hell had he opened it anyway? To feel Kaner's gloating in stereo? Because Kaner was trying to keep it locked down. He really was. It wasn't that he wasn't loving it. Hell, he'd skate over Johnny's face for the gold. Well, not really, but close enough. But he also didn't want to feel how pissed Johnny was. How sure he was that he could have done better. The guy had a complex. It was kind of weird, he thought. Everyone, seriously, everyone, expected him to be a dick about this. Even his mom had given him this really worried talk about how not to get punched in Vancouver. And maybe he would have been more of a dick in another world where he was actually playing well. Which, really, when this was all over, Johnny might kill him if he didn't shape up. Just generally. He stayed out for a while with the guys and then headed back to his room. It was empty, but that didn't mean jack shit in the Olympic Village, so he grabbed his boxes and got in the shower. Getting hard on while playing was about as unusual as rednecks in Buffalo. And this was perfect, he told himself, with Johnny off being pissed in his own head. He had privacy and he could just not even think about anything specific, just the game, the feeling of winning, Miller's insane saves. Actually, thinking about Miller would work fine. It was kind of gay, Kaner figured, but not even close to the whole thing with Johnny. And anyway, he'd be willing to bet half the fucking team was doing the same thing. He turned the hot water up and leaned back. closing his eyes and jacking himself nice and slow. It felt good, the kind of good that came with winning, low-key excitement just coursing through him. And oh, yeah, maybe he was going to gloat after all. The thought made him speed up, pressing back against the tiles until they were warm, thrusting his hips into the air. There was fucking nothing in the world like winning, hearing people screaming, looking around, and knowing you own the ice. Nothing like... Suddenly, with no warning, Johnny was loud and fully in his head. He sounded more pissed than Kaner had ever heard him when he said, "Cut it out, Kaner." Kaner would have answered, except all of a sudden he was coming, too hard and fast to do anything but write it out. By the time he got some of his brain back, Johnny was gone. So he'd royally fucked that one up. He'd call his mom and tell her she was right, except he doubted she wanted to hear about his adventures and weird semi-gayness. Instead, he spent the rest of the night watching TV and fucking around. The room was still empty when he went to sleep. He woke up to Johnny rambling in his head about eggs, which didn't make any sense, because Johnny never rambled. And actually, the second Kaner said confusion his way, Johnny shut up. "So, what, were you lecturing me in my sleep or something?" "I'm hungry," Johnny said, like that was an answer that made sense. "Whatever." Kaner had other priorities, like getting some damn food and exploring the village. "You're a freak," he told Johnny, just to cover his bases, before getting up and getting dressed. They spent the rest of the day like that, riding around each other's heads, insulting each other, and just generally not talking about the night before. Since Kaner had gone to bed so annoyed that he half wished the Olympics had never happened, he was fine with it. He was lying in bed late that night, his attention riding along with Johnny as he hung out with Dunks and Siebes. They weren't talking, just hanging out quietly. Dunks tried to ask Johnny about Kaner once, but Johnny fumbled his way away from the question. It was good, Kaner thought. He didn't want either of them to have to try to explain what the fuck was going on. He didn't think either of them knew. The day they played Finland, Kessler grabbed him on the way to the locker room. "Look, man, I don't know what's up with you." "Oh, fucking Christ," Kaner said. "But you need to just do your job and let me do mine." Kessler was a fucking tool, but he wasn't wrong. "I'll try," Kaner said, feeling profoundly awkward. Both because of the conversation and because Johnny, who'd been mostly staying away after Kaner shut him out, was suddenly pissed as hell. "Settle, man." "The coach, you're trying, what the hell does he think he's doing?" It wasn't the first time he'd brought it up, even, which Johnny didn't know. Except, whoops, now he did. "It's nothing. Looks, I don't need..." Pretty much the last thing he needed right now was to be dropped into Johnny's thoughts, but apparently Johnny didn't care, because all of a sudden Kaner was sitting right in the middle of... he didn't even know. It was images of himself playing, except with Johnny's knowledge. And if there was one thing Johnny was good at... okay, there were a lot of things Johnny was good at, but that wasn't the point. It was seeing other people's strengths and playing to them. And Jesus Christ, he thought about how Kaner played a lot. Okay, I get it. He leaned against the hallway wall as subtly as he could, hoping he didn't look like someone was beaming overwhelmingly strong thoughts into his head. "Thanks, man. You've got this," Johnny said. "I want to play with you again." "You too," Kaner said. He tried not to think about what had happened in the taxi or the complete emptiness he felt when the bond was shut down. He wanted Johnny to stay, but he didn't want to be the kind of person who needed a fucking psychic link to deal with that shit. So he said, "See you," and shut the bond down. Nothing mattered once the game started, because he was fucking on. There was no other way to describe it. Kiprasov wouldn't have stood a chance even if he'd been having a good night. As it was, Kaner was flying as high as he'd ever been. He hoped to fucking God Johnny was watching this shit. They were going to bring it next game. It was after the locker room, after the celebrating, and he was on his way back to his room, that he felt the nudge in his head. He couldn't help letting Johnny in any more than he could help the rush of victory lighting him up. It took him a minute to realize that he was getting it from Johnny, too, that Johnny cared enough to... Jesus. "We're gonna kill you again," Kaner said, flopping down on the bed. Johnny didn't talk back. He was... Kaner didn't even know. Excited, nervous, feeling a hell of a lot, and all of it was directed at Kaner. What Kaner wanted to do, more than anything, was stick his hand down his pants and just go for it. But he knew that would confuse things. Not the sex. Sex was fine. But the sex with Johnny. And he wasn't about to go get laid by anyone else. So instead he laid there and just kind of hung out with Johnny, not even really thinking about anything specific to him. It was stupid and super gay, and he barely even cared. Way too soon afterwards. It was 2 hours before they played Canada, and Kaner was pretty sure he was going to puke. He and Johnny counted to three and blocked each other as well as they knew how. It felt way weirder than it had when they were just blocking while one of them was playing, and even a little weirder than the first Canada-USA game. All Kaner could think was that they hadn't tried even half as hard to keep each other out while they were jerking off and pretending to want privacy, and now, shit, he was horny and about to go out on the ice. Not that being horny and playing an insanely important game was new to him, or anything. There wasn't even the slightest leak. They were both playing for all they had, and Kaner tried to not even look at Johnny, focused on playing and winning, not thinking about what had to be going on with Johnny behind the bond. That wasn't what mattered. What mattered was fucking closing this. What mattered was bringing back the gold. When Crosby scored, well, that was it, and Kaner felt the bottom fall out of his stomach. Silver. They were going back with silver. He was furiously, viciously glad the bond was closed, because the last fucking thing he wanted to feel right now was Johnny's happiness. Radio silence kept up until after the closing ceremonies. The time in between was a blur. There were some congratulations and tactful ignoring of what a fucking downer getting silver was. And Kaner was pretty happy, all things considered. Or at least, he was trying to be. They'd done good. Not great, but good. And it was still the Olympics, and good still counted for something. Everything felt weirdly distant. In a way, it made sense, since he was coming down from the biggest game of his life. But he hadn't been expecting to feel as dazed. It felt like a combination of the world's biggest hangover and, Kaner didn't even know, an epic tapeworm or something. The thought distracted him on the way to the airport. A tapeworm. Freaky worm living in his leg, eating all his food and... Okay, yeah, that didn't actually make much sense. But still, he felt fucking awful. He'd gotten onto the plane and was relaxing in his seat, hoping to be able to sleep to make the ride go by faster, when he felt Johnny poking at the bond. For a second, he was tempted to just ignore him, but he'd always followed Johnny's lead with the bond so far, and he knew it would be weird to just all of a sudden stop doing it. So instead, he shut his eyes and said, "I'm trying to sleep. I wanted." Kaner waited. Johnny was good at blocking off his feelings, better at it than Kaner was. It meant that Johnny could say what he wanted, and Kaner was pretty much stuck with being an open book, which was annoying, but it wasn't like Kaner could do anything about it. Except bug Johnny. Spit it out. I was going to apologize, but I figured you'd hit me. Yeah, okay, that was at least 10 times weirder than anything Kaner had actually been expecting. Sure, man. You should feel bad about winning the gold medal. Bad Johnny. No cookie. That's not what I meant. The plane went from taxiing to lifting off, and for a second Kaner completely ignored Johnny in favor of staring as they went higher and higher. That shit pretty much never got old. He didn't even realize Johnny had gotten quiet until Johnny said, "Keeping the bond closed. I thought it would be easier for you." Well, since the past day had pretty much sucked, maybe he'd been right. Though right now, for the first time, he was starting to feel not good, but better. Maybe because they were on their way back to the Hawks, back to playing like they had before. Though that didn't really explain why the tapeworm hangover feeling was gone. Except, oh, holy shit. He actually jumped, making Dunks glance at him, and he didn't even care how crazy it looked. Because for the first time in days, he felt awake and aware. The second he started talking to Johnny, he felt better. Which meant one thing. We can't shut down the bond again. Johnny's disappointment was like a smack to the head. I was going to build up to saying that. Yeah, well. Kaner was annoyed for no good reason. We'll just have to put up with it. Johnny got so quiet that for a second Kaner thought they'd somehow miraculously managed to kill the bond. I don't really mind, he said finally. It's useful. Useful, right. That was one word for it. I guess if jerking off together is useful to you... He was used to getting horrified silence from people, but it was usually after saying something totally out there, not in his head. Sorry? It's okay. Johnny's nervousness was practically rattling the bond. We could stop, if you wanted to. And fucked if there was a good answer to that. I don't know, it's not like it's hurting anyone. And it was good, Kaner thought. Better than most of the sex he'd had. Okay, fine. So we hadn't had that much sex to begin with, but still. But all he was getting from Johnny was misery. I guess not. What the hell, man? Canner clenched his teeth and then made himself relax so the guys wouldn't think he was a lunatic. If you want to stop, just tell me. It's not like... We'll figure out a way around it. Shit, if it fucks you up that bad... It doesn't. He was telling the truth, but that didn't make any fucking sense, Canner thought. It's just weird, and I want... Another wall slammed up, and oh great, now Canner was going to puke. Fuck no, he said, and pushed as hard as he could. But Johnny was still better at this than he was, and Canner couldn't make him get in, couldn't get through. So he spent the rest of the plane ride half ready to puke, dizzy every time he so much as twitched. He kept thinking about ways to kill Johnny, knowing that none of them would break the barrier Johnny set up. That was fine, though, because then when they got to Long Island, Canner was going to break Johnny's face. The flight felt like it took forever, but that was nothing compared to the ride to the hotel room. They got separated once they got there, saying hey to people and catching up with the coaches. Canner was fighting mad and kind of forgot about the fact that he'd be cornering Johnny and yelling at him, when neither of them had had that much sleep, and they had to play a game the next day, until they got to the room and saw Johnny standing outside it. I forgot my key card, Johnny said. And what? You couldn't fucking drop the shield long enough to let me know? Johnny's frown didn't change. This isn't a good idea. Fuck if I care, Canner said. Now that he could see Johnny, he was getting even more pissed. The fucking plane ride was bad enough without wanting to puke all over my shoes for it. Way to fucking go, Johnny. Johnny flinched at his name like Canard hit him. Good. I needed some time to think. Yeah, because 3 days of gold medal glory wasn't enough? Give me a fucking break. I can't actually help that you can't shut it down, Johnny said. It's on you if you make us both sick because of your stupid fucking issues, Canner said. I don't care about your gay panic, man. That shit's not okay. Canner hadn't realized it was possible for Johnny's frown to get worse. It's not gay panic. Oh, sorry, maybe I should have said it nicer, Canner said. What the fuck, man? Instead of giving him an explanation, Johnny grabbed the keycard from Canner's hand and unlocked the door. I'm tired. Too fucking bad, Canner said, stalking past Johnny and into the hotel room. Finish the sentence or bond back up or something, because I swear, if you keep this up, I'm going to kill you. He wasn't actually expecting anything to happen, because it wasn't like Johnny was big on doing what Canner said. So it was a shock when Johnny set down his luggage and, with his back still to Canner, dropped the mental barrier. It felt, he thought numbly, kind of like being punched in the face, or maybe dick-slapped. Except he'd never been dick-slapped, and getting punched in the face had never actually freaked him out this much. Because the thing was, he was pretty sure Johnny loved him. This feeling was way, way too big to be anything else, even the most epic boner of all time. And Canner just felt stunned. Maybe I should leave, he said when he could finally talk again. He didn't miss the anger coming through the bond, but all Johnny said was, yeah, sure, okay. If he'd said, get the fuck out, or die in a fire, or something, then Canner probably would have just left. But he could feel all the hurt, all the anger, and... They couldn't close the bond, and Canner might have no fucking clue exactly what was going on, but that didn't mean he was going to just back down. That shit was for people who weren't fucking awesome Olympic medal winners. Hey, so, he said, voice creaky like he hadn't talked for ages, you're way better at this bond thing than I am. Which was obvious in so many ways, but especially in the way Johnny didn't even move from the door. He clearly knew Canard changed his mind about leaving. Sure. So, there was no easy way to say this. Actually, there might not be a way to say it at all. What am I feeling? He hadn't thought it was possible for Johnny's frown to get worse. What do you mean? You heard me. You know, you should tell me. I don't know. If I knew, Johnny said, in the voice that meant he thought Canner was the biggest fucking moron on the planet, I wouldn't be freaking out. He was freaking out? Canner looked him up and down. Yeah, okay, he totally was. Like it was Canner's fault, Christ. Okay, he said. So, with other awkward moments, he'd demand TV or say they should go to a strip club or something. But even he knew that wasn't what he should be doing with this whole weird thing. Well, he kind of wanted to offer to blow Johnny, but that would probably go over as well as a strip club idea. And anyway, he wasn't sure he'd like it, or be good at it. He was good at a lot of shit he tried, but blowjobs? Could you stop? Johnny said, voice strained. Oh, right. Sorry. Johnny shook his head. I don't want. And yeah, that was confusion and fuck, humiliation? Loud and clear from Johnny. Fuck, he was fucking this up. And after the Olympics and all the fucking other weird shit that had happened. I just want, I don't know, man, something normal. Blowjobs are normal now? Well, no, but... Johnny shook his head. Kaner wasn't sure if it was supposed to be directed at him or what. And fuck it. Kaner was total shit at all of this. He threw himself into instinct again, stepped forward without letting himself think about it. Johnny took a step back, right into the door, nervousness coming through the bond. I want to, Kaner said, because he did. He hadn't really thought about it, not since the taxi ride, and even then, not that much. But yeah, he definitely did. Come on, man. You can tell I want to. You want a lot of stupid things. The image Johnny sent was of the drunken IHOP excursion, which was unfair, because Johnny had only heard about that secondhand, and he'd been young. That was 6 months ago, Kaner. Kaner very carefully and very specifically thought about punching Johnny. Then he thought about deep-throating him. You have to... Johnny shot the thought down and sent mental static in place of emotions, but it didn't matter. Kaner knew what he was going to say. If you actually want me to, I'll stop. Johnny's frustration and embarrassment was still coming through almost painfully loudly, but Kaner wasn't giving up. This was too important to let go of. If they stopped, they wouldn't bring it up again. There was no way he was going to screw things up like that. Fine, Johnny finally said. Fine, Kaner. It wasn't exactly, take me now, stud, but hey, he could work with it. He grinned and moved forward, reaching out to touch Johnny's shoulder. And then there was a burst of emotion from Johnny, so strong it almost knocked him over. Somehow he ended up stumbling forward and tripping over his own feet, and when Johnny grabbed him, he pushed forward and kissed him. If finding out Johnny loved him felt like dick slapping, then this felt like, actually, Kaner had no fucking clue. Either Johnny was really good at kissing, or Kaner needed to kiss more sober people, but either way, it was good, and he wasn't holding back with the bond, either. Emotion was rushing between them, so much that Kaner would have been embarrassed if he wasn't busy humping Johnny's leg. "Thank fucking God," he said when Johnny pulled back. "This is a bad idea," Johnny said, but he was pushing Kaner's shirt up, so whatever. "It's a fucking awesome idea. Get your hand on my dick. Come on." Johnny looked vaguely amused. Well, Kaner was glad he could be entertainment. "Come on," he said again, and skimmed a hand over Johnny's chest, pushing at his shirt. Johnny kissed him again, kind of clumsily, and then took his shirt off. Kaner took a few seconds to appreciate the view before grabbing at Johnny's pants. "Don't give me some fucking bullshit about romance or whatever," Kaner said, doing his best to forget about the fact that pretty much the only sex he'd had been drunk sex and not, like, full of feelings. "Let's go." It wasn't exactly the most convincing thing he'd ever said, but Johnny batted at his hands and then got his pants off. Kaner grinned and grabbed Johnny's dick. And this? Okay, this was pretty cool, watching Johnny close his eyes and bite his lip, his hips moving forward in jerky spasms. "You can fuck me, I mean, if you want," Kaner said. "I don't care." "Seriously?" "Fuck off, I mean," Kaner said, then gave up and decided to kiss Johnny instead. He was kind of surprised by how much he enjoyed Johnny pressing him back down onto the bed. "You're a heavy motherfucker," he said, to save his pride. Johnny rolled his eyes and tugged Kaner's shirt off, bending his head and doing his level best to give him a hickey. It probably wouldn't have been that sexy if he wasn't also circling a hand around Kaner's right wrist, pressing it into the bed. Kaner was pretty sure Johnny only had a slight idea of what the hell he was doing, and that made it better, somehow. Think about how they were in this together. "Okay," he said, rocking against Johnny. "Okay, okay, okay." "Stop talking," Johnny said, and unbuttoned Kaner's pants, yanking them and his boxers off. Kaner was pretty sure he was gross, actually, all things considered, with the plane fight and everything, but it didn't matter. Johnny took his time, kissing Kaner's hip and playing with his balls until Kaner's eyes literally crossed. He was starting to wonder if Johnny was going to whiff, but of course Johnny could hear his thoughts and sent back the same determined annoyance he used when Kaner did something stupid during practice. And then Johnny's mouth was on his dick, and oh, holy fucking God. "You're too good at this. Why are you good at this?" Kaner said. And Johnny sent back images of, fucking Jesus Christ, he'd fucking studied. Of course he'd studied. And actually, he was still kind of hesitant, and definitely sloppy, so maybe Kaner was just easy.
We knew that, Johnny said.
He sounded happy with it, though, so Kaner ignored the slight in the favor of fighting not to move. It didn't take him long to come, obviously. He wasn't made of steel, especially not with Johnny living in his head like this. The way he loved doing this was coming through loud and clear. He didn't realize he was having the same effect until Johnny looked up at him, expression dazed, hips moving against the bed like he didn't even know what to do with himself.
Come on, Kaner said, and yanked him up, getting a hand around his dick and jacking him as quickly as he could feel he needed it.
Johnny wasn't even thinking in words anymore, and fuck, it wasn't like Kaner was hard again or anything, but he understood why Johnny'd lost track of everything when Johnny came, and he was thrown into it, like coming all over again.
Fuck, he said when they both quit moving.
That was...
Yeah, Johnny said. If mental voices could wobble, his would have been.
Yeah. Kaner sighed and pressed his head back into the bed.
I'm not moving. You want the other bed? You can go there yourself.
Johnny sent him this mix of feelings, like he was shaking his head at Kaner. Kaner grinned and shoved Johnny over.
We've got a few hours, right?
He couldn't even tell if how sleepy he was him or Johnny.
A few.
Johnny moved behind him, setting the alarm.
Awesome, Kaner said, and fell asleep.
Johnny was happy, insanely happy. So happy it actually woke Kaner up, and he was annoyed for about 2 seconds before he remembered exactly why Johnny was happy. Also, he was naked. That helped.
Johnny woke up after a few minutes. Kaner quit stealthily kicking him.
Hey.
You can shake me awake, you know, Johnny said and sat up.
Kaner thought maybe he was going to do something stupid, like sit up, so he scrambled to where he could kiss Johnny, nice and slow and morning breathy.
So what are we going to tell the guys? Kaner said.
Oh, guilt and shame.
Awesome.
Or we could, you know, never mention it to them.
Not for now, Johnny said.
But how Johnny felt was still coming through, and Kaner... Maybe he was just really easy or something, because he wanted to cuddle up and do stupid shit all day long.
We should get dressed, he said instead. Because apparently Johnny was infecting him.
Hang on, Johnny said, and...
Hell yeah, making out.
They didn't shower together, which Kaner honestly had sort of hoped for. They also didn't hold hands or anything stupid like that. But they batted feelings back and forth all day, and Kaner was pretty sure that that was gayer than all the blowjobs. And weirdly, he was okay with it.
My mom's going to want to meet you, he said on the way to morning skate.
Your mom knows me.
No, like, meet you. You know, since we're...
Don't say boning, Johnny said.
What, are you psychic now?
Well, yeah. Plus, I just know you.
She really will want to meet you, though.
Mine, too.
They'll be okay with it?
Johnny sent back a jumbled memory of coming out to his mom when he was 12. He was such an overachiever.
And eventually, we'll let the guys know, Kaner said.
You really want to go all out, huh?
Kaner shrugged, but it didn't really work.
It was hard being nonchalant when Johnny could feel all the sappy shit.
It's not like I'm good at keeping secrets.
Johnny moved his hand so he was just touching Kaner's thumb.
Good point.
They went the rest of the way in silence. When the bus parked, they walked in together, both of them careful not to look couple-y. And no one noticed.
Well, Sharpie looked a little amused, but that was practically his default with Kaner.
Kaner saluted Coach and went to get changed. Telling the guys really was going to be weird. They'd work it out, though. The game that night was kind of a disaster, and Kaner could tell Johnny wasn't going to want anyone around for a while. He stuck close anyway, spending the night ignoring Johnny's hulkish, angry vibes, and then grabbing a cab to literally follow Johnny home when they got back to Chicago the next day. He thought he might have to hang around for a while to be let in, but Johnny surprised him by waiting by the door.
We don't have to talk or anything, Kaner said when they were both inside. I just figured, you know, we should hang.
Good, Johnny said, and crowded Kaner against the hallway wall. The kiss wasn't a surprise. The way it made him feel was. His muscles ached and he kind of wanted to punch someone, but Johnny was kissing him slow and sweet, and after just a few seconds it was all Kaner could do to hold on.
We're going to keep trying, Johnny said, tightening his hand on Kaner's hip.
Man, don't give me the sea speech right now. Kaner said, and wiggled a hand between them, getting it around Johnny's dick.
Not yet, Johnny said, catching his wrist and pulling his hand away.
Kaner thought about fighting him for it, but...
Here, Johnny said, and tugged him up the stairs.
The bed was softer than Kaner remembered.
That, or he was just more tired. He wiggled out of his clothes and watched Johnny undress, beaming the porniest thoughts he could at Johnny. Johnny rolled his eyes as he pulled his briefs off. A tidy-whitey fetish is lame, Kaner.
Not as lame as your actual tidy-whiteys.
I didn't have any boxers clean. Kaner rolled his eyes. Don't throw a fit, man. I was just joking with you. Johnny had his usual uncomfortable face on. Kaner was getting ready to get off the bed and wrestle him down or something when Johnny came forward and sat down next to him. He said, looking supremely awkward. Kaner grabbed him and kissed him, moving from his mouth to his neck and then back again.
Can I give you a hickey?
Johnny put on his offended face, but... Hello, brain bond, Kaner said. Come on. He almost came right there when Johnny tilted his head, quickly and easily. It wasn't like Kaner was some vampire who was going to suck his blood and get him pregnant or something. Whatever, Kaner had sisters and they loved that midnight shit, so it wasn't actually that big a deal. They still ended up pressing against each other way harder than they really needed to, Kaner dragging his teeth over Johnny's neck, getting one hand around his hip. He felt good, insanely good. They'd lost, and this was still the best sex he'd ever had. Well, except for last night. Johnny said, and made a face. The image got through just fine, though. Kaner hadn't really thought Johnny'd be up for it, but it wasn't like he was going to argue. We have to skate tomorrow. Oh, fuck. Johnny really was contagious. Kaner totally was, too, though. It'll be fine, Johnny said, arching his back. Come on, you've done it to yourself, right? No? Johnny turned red and, oh, those were some images. I have, Johnny said. I know, Kaner said, and then waggled his eyebrows. Johnny snorted and then grinned. He looked happy, and also completely clueless. Kaner could work with it. Let's talk, Dunk said. He looked like he and Seeds were fighting again, except Kaner had seen them doing their thing on the ice 2 seconds ago, so probably not. Okay? Dunks didn't say anything, just looked more pained. If this is about the shaving cream, that wasn't me. You can't do good pranks, Kaner. I know it wasn't you. Hey, Kaner said, but he wasn't really insulted, because seriously, what was wrong with Dunks? The thing is, Dunk said, we know about you and Johnny. Kaner got very, very still. The whole team? Oh, man. And they thought the team was too gay now or something. Great. They were completely fucked. Because, look, we could, I don't know, we're just... Kaner, relax. It's just me and Siebes. That was good news. Kind of. We're not sorry. We don't want you to be. Dunks frowned even harder. Kaner, me and Siebes, you know about us. Kaner shook his head, because seriously, what? Dunks wasn't exactly George Clooney, but he was usually a little smoother than this. Was he supposed to like George Clooney now that he was doing a guy? Dunks sighed. We live together, Kaner. No, you don't. Maybe I should just get Siebes to do it, Dunks said, looking around. Then things clicked. Oh, you, but you're gay. Johnny guessed. Yell it a little louder. Shut up. This is a big deal. Kaner wasn't sure why, but it totally had to be a big deal, right? When your teammates were gay, it was a thing. We just wanted you to know, since you and Johnny are, you know. Oh, hey, this was bad, wasn't it? Also, is there some kind of gay mafia or something? How did you find each other? What? You and Siebes and Johnny. Seriously, this is the gayest team in the NHL. I think it just happened, Kaner, Dunk said in his stop-asking-stupid-questions voice. And okay, maybe a gay mafia was kind of a dumb idea, but still. This is weird. It's weird for us, too, you know. You have no idea, Kaner said. Dunk smiled awkwardly and clapped him on the shoulder. Okay, great, we're done. He practically ran away. Kaner could focus on Johnny again. The guy was laughing at both of them, all quiet in the back of Johnny's head. Yeah, sure, laugh it up. I bet the guys will get Burr to give you a sex talk. Who says he hasn't? That was a horrible mental image. Kaner sent back the horse-fucking porn his sister had spammed with that time he puked on her billion-dollar Nike shoes. Hey, I'm the one who lived through it. Okay, man, that's just sad. I can tell when you're lying. Johnny was quiet for a second before saying, "Let's go." They went back to Kaner's place this time, not really talking on the way there. When they'd grabbed a snack and settled on the couch, Johnny said, without looking at him, "This is good. I'm glad." "Mouthful," Kaner said. "You better not be trying to learn how to lie better, man." Johnny smacked him in response, and then pushed Kaner back, kissing his jaw, weighing him down. "Yeah, okay." "Me too," Kaner said, and meant it.